now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Well, greetings and welcome to the show today. As always, it is such a joy to have you with us as we open the Word of God together. Today, we're going to be continuing our series on the story of Noah, taking a look at chapter 7 of Genesis today. And so if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me there. There are a lot of lessons that you and I can learn from the story of Noah. In fact, someone once said, "All I really need to know, I learned from Noah's Ark. First, don't miss the boat. Second, don't forget that we're all in the same boat. Third, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Fourth, stay fit, because when you're 600 years old, someone might ask you to do something important. Number five, don't listen to critics. Just get on with what has to be done. Six, build your future on high ground. Seven, remember that the ark was built by amateurs, but the Titanic was built by professionals." Now, I'm sure there's a great deal that we could learn from the story of Noah, but today I'd like to focus in on one key point in particular. And that's this: when God is with us, we can have hope and trust that no matter what we're facing, God is going to bring us through. And we'll see today how that faith was lived out in the lives of Noah and his family. Go ahead and look with me at Genesis chapter 7, starting at verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made.' And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him." Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on the earth. You know, I once read a story of how a preacher concluded that his church was getting into very serious financial troubles. And while checking the church storeroom, he discovered several cartons of brand new Bibles that had never been opened and never been distributed. And so during his Sunday sermon, he asked for 3 volunteers from the congregation who might be willing to sell the Bibles door to door for $10 each, to raise the desperately needed money for the church. And so 3 guys raised their hands: Jack, Paul, and Louis. And the minister knew that Jack and Paul, they earned their living as salesmen, and they were likely very capable of selling at least some of these Bibles. But he had very serious doubts about Louis, because, I mean, Louis was just a local farmer who always kept to himself because he was embarrassed by his speech impediment. Poor Louis, he stuttered so badly. But not wanting to discourage Louis, the minister decided to just let him try anyway. And so he sent the 3 men away with the back seat of their cars stacked with Bibles. And he asked them to meet with him and report the results of their door-to-door selling the following Sunday. And so that Sunday came, and very anxious to find out how successful they were, the minister immediately asked Jack, "Well, Jack, how did it go selling Bibles last week?" And proudly handing the minister an envelope, Jack replied, "You know, using all my sales prowess, I was able to sell 20 Bibles. And here's the $200 I collected on behalf of the church." "Well done, Jack," the minister said, vigorously shaking his hand. "You are indeed a fine salesman, and the church is forever indebted to you." Turning to Paul, he then said, "Well, Paul, how many Bibles did you sell for the church last week?" And Paul smiled, he stuck out his chest, and confidently replied, "I am a professional salesman. I sold 28 Bibles on behalf of the church, and here's the $280 I collected." And the minister responded, "I mean, that's absolutely splendid, Paul. You are truly a professional salesman, and the church is forever indebted to you." And then apprehensively, the minister turned to Louis and said, "Louis, did you manage to sell any Bibles this week?" And Louis silently offered the minister a large envelope. And the minister opened it and counted the contents. "What is this?" the minister exclaimed. "Louis, there's $3,200 in here. Are you suggesting that you sold 320 Bibles for the church, door to door, in just 1 week?" And Louis silently nodded. "That's impossible," Jack and Paul said. "We're professional salesmen, yet you claim to have sold 10 times as many Bibles as we could." "Yeah, that does seem unlikely," the minister agreed. "I think you'd better explain how you managed to accomplish this, Louis." And Louis shrugged and he said, I really don't know for sure, he stammered. Impatiently, Paul interrupted, "For crying out loud, Louis, just tell us what you said to these people when they answered the door." "Well, all I said was, would you like to buy the Bible for 10 bucks? Or would you like me to stand here and read it to you?" You know, one of the main lessons from Scripture that is taught so clearly, and yet is something that I have to be taught again and again so many times, is that it doesn't take a perfect person to accomplish the work of God. In fact, it can often be our imperfections that God can use to accomplish His work the best. All that God requires is that we be obedient to Him. Obedient to Him with our actions in physically doing what He's called us to do, but also inwardly obedient in our personal holiness of heart and life. What do we know about Noah? I mean, really, not much. Scripture tells us nothing of his stature, nothing about how wealthy he was, or how good he looked, or how eloquently he spoke. It says only that he walked with God and was holy because of that daily walking with God, and that Noah did what God called him to do. That is how Scripture defines success. And you know, I think you and I do as well. Yes, man tends to look at outward appearances, as the Scripture says, but you know, I think we all recognize that all of that fades away. You know, I remember seeing an article some time ago that showed a number of actors when they were considered to be the most handsome or the most beautiful. And the pictures were quite impressive. But then it showed a second picture of them later in life, after many years had passed, in order to show us what they looked like today. And some of them were far from what they looked like before. And the title of the article was something like this: Actors Who Haven't Aged Well. But you know what? And I'm sorry to say this, beauty passes away from all of us, some more quickly than others. And we know that. But I'd like to challenge you to think about those people that you look up to the most. Those people you respect the most. Those people who have inspired you the most. Those who have done the most good for the greatest number of people. The Mother Teresas, the Hudson Taylors, the Billy Grahams. Was it their looks or their inherent capabilities that inspired you? Or was it that they walked with God? You know, in my life, two of my greatest heroes were my grandfathers, for the very reason that both of them truly lived their Christianity. They embodied it for me. I could know what holiness of heart and life looked like by looking at them, at how they treated those around them, at how they respected my grandmothers. You know, I remember my grandfather on my dad's side, how every night after everyone went to bed, he would stay up and make sure the kitchen was clean so that my grandmother could wake up every morning to a clean kitchen. That's what holiness and love looks like. And that's what people are going to remember about you and me. And the level of your impact in this world is going to be measured by nothing else than the distance between you and God. That's it. And that's not up to God. That's up to you. James says in his epistle, James 4:8, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." Now with that comes the need to be holy, which is why the verse continues, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." You know, you don't often hear the second part of that verse, but that's important not to leave out because drawing near to God always involves cleansing. Now, it is God who does that cleansing, but you know, we have to let Him do it. We have to open ourselves to what He wants to do in our lives. We need to allow Him to purify us. And that's the focal point of faith. And you see that in all the men, all the women in Scripture who are nearest and dearest to God's heart. A willingness to allow God to be God. And for them to merely be used by Him to fulfill a greater purpose in His plan of salvation. That was Noah's spirit. And maybe it's why his family at least seemed to trust him. Because they knew he walked with God. And so may you and I also have that same spirit. May we imbibe trust in the hearts of those around us because of how clearly they can see Christ alive and at work in us. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.